Dear Heavenly Gracious God, as we come before your holy presence, we ask your forgiveness for each and every known sin that's in our lives. As we enter the message, we ask you to allow your Holy Spirit to make it real, make it clear. Help us to understand what's going on, not only in our own individual lives, but in our country, globally. What's going on with Israel and those enemies attempting to do them harm. We ask you to stay the hand of the devil, the flesh, and the world system. And out of it all, may Jesus Christ and only Jesus Christ be glorified. May the believer of the household of faith remember and understand and apply that only through Christ will one be victorious. In Jesus' name we ask you and thank you. Amen. Well, what's Esther going to do? I know you've been following the story in the book of Esther, because we're talking about Israel. We're talking about somebody trying to exterminate them. Is that what's going on today? Been going on a long time, haven't it? Well, we see that God, by his providence, has been moving. Do you notice when you are looking at the book of Esther and today, not only in Israel, but in the believer's life, you notice how he's prepared the way of deliverance for his people? Do you notice that? Do you notice when you are growing closer to the Lord and you're understanding the challenging trials in your life, that God knows what's coming, and that's the reason that you and I can trust him? Do you notice how he has the power to hold you and I? Do you notice he knows what's going to happen tomorrow and the next day and the next day and the next day? You can trust him. Well, think about it. In this risky plan, remember Mordecai in the book of Esther? Remember, he takes a stand for God. He's willing to die for him. But do you notice it? God is nowhere mentioned in the book of Esther. But you know what's interesting? Esther is too. She directed, get all the Jews living in Susa together. Fast for me. Do you remember where we left off the last time? Well, you got to go back and listen to it to catch up. Or you can read the book of Esther at the same time. But Esther is letting Mordecai know, don't eat or drink for 3 days. I and my maids will fast with you. If you would do this, I'll go to the king. Even though it's forbidden, if I perish, I perish. Here you got Esther. She's willing now to die. You notice she's revealing her powerful, noble character. Think about it. And though she's out of the will of God in a foreign land, she's going to be faithful. And you know what? Her example should be a lesson for you and I today, especially when people are so easily judging each other. You know it's true, irrespective of where you are around the globe. But the key is you and I should be letting God determine who are the faithful ones. You remember Elijah? Remember the work he was doing for God? And remember when Jezebel let it be known she was coming after him, going to kill him? You remember how he ran? Remember how he got alone? Remember how he started feeling sorry for himself, maybe like you and me? And remember he cried out to God, wanting to know, where are all the, you know, the people like him, the believers, the followers of Christ, where are they at? And remember how God let him know, paraphrasing, don't worry about them. God let him know that he had people out there. Is that how you're looking at it today? Thinking you're the only one? You're not. Because when you look at the book of Esther, do you notice we're not going to have long to see what Esther's going to do? Remember the king, her husband. Remember he was in the middle of doing state business when he saw his wife standing in the courtyard. Do you notice how he was pleased to see her? And do you notice how he extended the golden scepter and by doing so saved her life? He invited her to approach, and guess what she did? She touched the tip of the scepter. Those of you who did not tune in today by accident, God holds out the scepter to you today, the scepter of grace. He's asking you to come and accept his offer of life and just put your hand out by faith and accept what he has to offer. He's not saving us today because we're beautiful or handsome or worthy or good, because we're none of those. He holds out his offer of life because he loves us. But do you notice the gracious thing that the king does? He must have loved her. The king, you know, that's why I love our relationship. The king asks, what's your desire, Queen Esther? What do you want? Ask, and it's yours. King knew that his lady, she didn't come with some small issue. He knew something was troubling his queen. You know, and she might have even been trembling because she could have been put to death on the spot back then during that time. So in the way, the king's hand, you know, he hands her a signed blank check and tells her, you can have anything you want, up to half of the kingdom. It's yours. Just name it. Now think about it. Although Esther's relieved, you notice how she's still timid? She says, would you come to a luncheon I prepared and bring Haman? He knows, you know, the king knows that she's holding back the request. So what's going to happen now? Come on now, we're reading the story, or are you? Are you following along? How's this unafraid young lady going to let the king know what's going on? How is God going to use her to save his people? Think about the story that God is writing, and he's writing your story, and he's writing my story every single day. Because what you're going to see is God's providence is going to be revealed when this young lady puts her life on the line for a nation. What has God called you today to put your life on the line for? Are you obeying? Remember, obedience is better than sacrifice. Here we're going to see a young girl doing audacious and brave thing on a human level. Esther is the only hope her people have in the light of the deceitful. Remember how it was done? The deceitful law that Haman set up to destroy God's people. Think about what he did. I know you remember the story. You do, don't you? You sure? You sure? All right. So here we have the king, knowing his queen. And here we have God writing a story. We're sitting here wondering, how is God going to save his people? God has placed her on the throne, placed her near the king, and by his providence, just for this event. Remember, Haman wants to destroy God's people. Look around today in your country, who's trying to destroy God's people? Whether it's the individuals who are Jewish or the individuals who have accepted Christ by faith. And here you got, with courage, Esther's risking her life when she entered the king's presence uninvited. You know we're glad to see. I know she would. See him hold out that scepter to his wife. Think about it. The moment he saw her, he gave her that blank check. But also, you got to remember, he knew something was wrong. He knew something was important to her. And that's the reason why he offered her anything she needed. Here we see God's unseen hand of providence is moving. How do we know? Well, I know you may write it down. Proverbs chapter 21, verse 1. Proverbs chapter 21, verse 1. You know what it says? The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. Like the rivers of water, he turns it whatever he wishes. Think about it. Even when leaders, that includes you, or you, are cruel and ungodly, you know, godless, Your heart is still in the hand of God, because God could squeeze it anytime he wanted to remove you and that king then. Because what you're going to see is that throughout the scripture and throughout your life, I know you've seen how that he can turn the king just like you turn water that's running downhill, because God is moving here in a purposeful way like he's doing in our life. You know what? And when I think about it, really think about it, it reminded me one time while I was blessed to plant a fellowship and trying to help men and women, women and men to get up from homelessness and out of the shelters, you know, by helping them find jobs and apartments and so forth. I remember the leader of a homeless shelter, while I was holding Bible studies at the shelter, he sent word on what he was going to do with me. And I sent this same scripture back to him. Proverbs 21:1. The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. Like the rivers of water, he turns it wherever he wishes. And the reason why I sent that back to him was to let him know that God was in control and he had no power over me, especially while he was controlling the Social Security numbers of people staying there. You see, even though the king asked Esther to make a request, you know what she asked instead? She asked the king and Haman to come to a lunch. She let her request be known there. So here you got Haman, the king. They're going to go to Esther for lunch. And the king sees that she's actually afraid. Something very heavy is on her mind and heart, but she's hesitant to say what it is. And for the second time, the king promised to hear and respond generously to her request. But Esther, again, do you notice how she lost heart and postponed her answer again? And so she invited both of them back to come to a banquet. Now, you know this is getting interesting because the banquet is going to occur the next day. And as Haman left the palace, oh, Haman, he couldn't be more happy to attend another private meal with two royals. Think about it. You know how you are if you've been scheming and scamming deceitfully, trying to get over on people, whatever your reason for doing so. Now, all of a sudden, you've been invited back to two individuals with authority, two individuals with power, two individuals, you name what they have. And so here you got Haman, who's playing people. And right now, he's playing the fool. Because when he walked around the court, guess what he saw? He saw Mordecai. He saw Mordecai sitting at the king's gate now. Mordecai wasn't thinking about him. And you know what that did to Haman? Maybe that's what it's doing to you and you and you, which is causing your actions. It made Haman angrier to be ignored. You know, supervisor, whoever you are as a supervisor, a CEO, a neighborhood leader, a pastor, Sunday school teacher, a political leader, educational leader, medical leader, criminal justice leader, you name the title. Does it make you angry that you're being ignored because you have a temporary title, temporary money, temporary power? Haman restrained himself and went home. He got his friends together with his wife, and he started bragging about how much money he had. You know, his wife's Zeresh. Is that what you do with the power you have, titles and money and whatever materialistic thing you brag about it? He had all these sons. He's letting it be known all the time the king had honored him and his promotion to the highest position in the government. Do you notice when you look around today globally, these are the three things that all men and women, women and men, always bragging about, you know, money, family, and position. But you notice on top of all that, Haman really was saying in effect that Queen Esther had invited him to a private dinner that she gave for the king, just the three of them. And he's letting it be known through the braggadocio way that she's invited him to another one the next day. But he's also letting it be known that he can't enjoy any of it when he sees Mordecai as a Jew sitting at the king's gate. Think how petty this guy is, or maybe that's like you. Here you got his wounded spirit that's revealing how little things made him angry. Here this guy is riding high in his career and is derailed by one guy who wouldn't respect him. Do you notice that? Do you also notice in our own lives that we show what kind of person we are? You say, yeah, what? Yeah, yeah. Don't you notice that in our own lives? I know you already know that. And we show it by the things we let bother us. Here you got Haman. He's letting this little thing annoy him. And that's the mark of a little person. By the way, if you research Haman's name, it literally means little. Isn't that what he's being right now? Very little. And then guess what? Haman's wife, uh-oh. His wife and friends, they thought of a plan after he got through bragging and telling what bothered him. So they thought of a plan, you know, build a gallows, you know, 75 feet high, first thing tomorrow morning. They wanted him to ask the king to have Mordecai hanged on it. And then with that off his mind, he can sit around and enjoy the banquet with the king and Esther. So Haman loved that idea. So you know what he did, didn't you? He immediately ordered that the gallows be built. Here you got bitterness and hatred leading a human to do evil things. Oops. Is that what's going on with you too? Some bitterness, some hatred toward a person, toward a group of people. Here you got Haman all through the night because he ordered gallows to be built to hang Mordecai, someone who didn't respect him, didn't bow to him. And as a result, not only was he going to do away with Mordecai, but he was going to exterminate everybody of Mordecai's race, lineage, community. So all through the night, you can hear the sound of the hammer and Shushan as these gallows are being built. But wait a minute, hold on. What's going on? What else going on while these gallows are being built? There's something else going on. God was doing something else during this time. See, we're just looking at it from one perspective. Remember now, God is not nowhere named in the book of Esther. But what else is going on? Don't you want to know what he's doing in your life, in your life, in your life? Don't you want to know? You sure? All right, but don't you want to know what else went on while those gallows were being built? What's going on with Esther? What's going on with Mordecai? What's going on with the king during this time? Well, you know, next time we're going to find out. Yes, the next time.
This is for that little child with no father. For that man that doesn't have a place to stay. For that little boy living with AIDS.
Can I tell you a story?
You can lean on me.
There's a man,
oh yeah,
standing on the corner. He has no home, he has no food, and his blue skies are gone.
Yes, it is.
Can you hear him crying out?
A man, a girl, searching for a father and a friend, praying that soon someday will end. But instead of walking away, oh,
more than you'll ever know.
Then I'm walking away.
Open up.
My brother,
here's my shoulder. You can.